From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines later tonight. Yep, those Friday into Saturday morning open lines. And by the way, if you have a computer, you might want to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, the Digicam icon. Look for that. Sean LaDesour, our webmaster, one of them, of course, works with Lex. His wife, Julie, had the privilege of singing the national anthem at Daytona. Just go take a look. There's a picture of Julie there. Very nice, Sean. Glad everything's going well. Sean just got married not too long ago. The flu season is getting worse, and the U.S. health officials say it's partly because the flu vaccine does not protect against most of the spreading flu bugs. The flu shot, they say, is a good match for only about 40% of this year's flu viruses. The situation has even deteriorated since last week when the CDC said the vaccine was protective against roughly half of the circulating strains. They say in good years, the vaccine can fend off about 90% of the flu bugs. Now, for all those people who have been thinking about chemtrails over the years, listen to this story out of Germany. German television stations report that military planes of the German Federal Army are manipulating the climate. And they say they don't know what else they're doing with chemtrails. But they say, and listen to this, we can state with a 97% certainty that we have on our hands chemtrails comprised of fine dust containing polymers and metal used to disrupt radar signals and other things. And that's out of Germany. Interesting, huh? An 11-year-old Brooklyn girl made a gruesome discovery at her father's home, 55 years old. She found him lying lifeless on the bedroom floor. He had a corkscrew lodged into his head. He was dead. A U.S. expert on ocean currents says there's something very strange and mysterious off the British Columbia's coast. They're finding feet in sneakers, right feet. That's it, the right foot with sneakers, and they're floating ashore. They don't know where they're coming from, maybe California or Alaska, but it's bizarre. It's been happening for 6 months now. The discovery of a Jupiter-like planet and another about the size of Saturn has astronomers suggesting that the solar systems like ours may be very common. The newfound worlds both appear to be gaseous and are about 80% the size of Jupiter. They orbit a star that's about half the size of our sun, much dimmer, much cooler. This system is 5,000 light years away. Mars, they say, was too salty to sustain life for much of its history, according to the latest evidence gathered by the rovers on the Martian surface. The high concentration, they say, of minerals and water and on early Mars would have made it inhospitable, even to the toughest microorganisms. Three members of an independent hip-hop crew, they were in Tampa. They're called Movement Television. They were on their way to a music event in Tampa when they noticed something unusual in the sky. The video is up there on the coasttocoastam.com website as the feature story. Something very strange, they said, zoomed right past them. William Henry Harrison won the presidency in 1840 with the slogan, "Dip a canoe and Tyler too." This referred to his participation in the Battle of Tippecanoe in 1811. He was seen as a war hero when Tecumseh's forces were defeated at the battle. Harrison's presidency, however, never really had a chance to begin. He delivered a very long address on a cold, wintry day, and he caught a rainstorm. He caught a cold. It led to his death. He served as president from March 4th to April 4th, 1841. His death would be seen as the first in a long series of what became known as Tecumseh's Curse. Presidents elected in a year ending in a zero would die in office. In a moment, our special guest William Connery joins us, and we talk about Tecumseh's Curse on Coast to Coast AM. William Connery, born in Baltimore, Maryland, January 19th, 1949, sharing a birthday with Edgar Allan Poe, who was born in 1809, Robert E. Lee, 1807, Dolly Parton, 1946. He was born exactly the same day as the iconic British 80s singer Robert Palmer, remember? Simply Irresistible. In the 1970s, he lived for 3 years in Uganda, and he is currently the assistant to the chairman of the Washington Times. He also writes, speaks on Civil War and historical topics. He is younger, and he believes he's better looking than the other Connery, Sir Sean. Hey, William, how are you?
Okay, how are you, George?
Doing good. Good to have you with us. Say hi to Bill Goetz for us when you have a chance to talk with him out there at the Washington Times.
You know Bill Goetz?
Yeah. He's been on the program a long time ago. He's a good researcher and good writer.
Yeah, you should get him on again sometime.
He always has those deep investigative programs.
Yeah, even at the Times, he won't let us know who his
No, he won't. He's very protective about
yeah.
that. Hey, tell me a little bit about you. This is a fascinating topic, this Tecumseh's Curse and some of these other things we're going to talk about tonight.
Well, I was doing editing at the World and I magazine. It was a monthly publication for the Washington Times. And being familiar with history, I known that there had been some kind of, it seemed coincidental, every number of years something seemed to happen to the president. And so another editor said, well, check it out and put together a story for us. And so I checked it out and discovered that every 20 years from 1840 up until 1980, the president who had been elected in that 0 year had either died in office or been shot.
And all of them so that I'm looking at from Harrison to Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, Harding, Roosevelt, Kennedy, and then Reagan. Reagan got shot. He was lucky. He didn't die, but he I guess, had you followed that curse, he would have.
Yeah, some people, well, I'll probably get into it a little in more detail, but some people say he broke the curse. And, of course, 2000, we had probably the closest election in history between George Bush and the former vice president,
mm-hmm.
who President Nobel Prize winner, and who had received the majority of the popular vote, while Bush got the electoral college vote. But for example, in 1860, there were four people ran for president. Lincoln only got like 37% of the popular vote, but he got the electoral vote. So in many of those elections, they were very close.
William,
but it all goes back to William Henry Harrison and his relationship with this Chief Tecumseh.
It is strange. Now, tell us about the curse. What happened?
Okay. William Henry Harrison was the governor, I believe it was Indiana Territory at that time. He was also a general. And at that time, of course, the white man was spreading into what is now the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing in history is, for example, I believe the original place called Wyoming, you know, we think of Wyoming in the us Easterners, there's a Wyoming, Pennsylvania. The western part of New York and Pennsylvania were like the original wild frontier.
That's true.
And as the white man moved west, they were pushing the Native Americans, the red men, until there came along Tecumseh himself. He's a very interesting character. There was supposed to have been a comet came over the place where he was born. People knew he was someone special. And also he had his brother, who is called the prophet. That's why there's three different variations on the curse.
Okay.
And Tecumseh had the vision the red man had to give up the white man's way. He had to forsake anything he knew about the white man. So when they say go back to his roots, and in that way, he could reclaim his territory. Actually, for the American Indians, even the thought of because for them, everything belonged to God or the Great Spirit.
Right.
So having these people come in and put up fences and build permanent houses was very strange to them. Just as to the white man, having these people just roaming around and living in teepees and following the herds of buffalo or the different season was strange to them. So it came down to what was called the Battle of Tippecanoe, which was basically Tecumseh had gone away to try and gather the tribes together. He was a very charismatic person.
He wanted a big push here, didn't he?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, after he was killed in the later battle, people so admired him that they even named their children. So, for example, one of the most famous Civil War generals was William Tecumseh Sherman.
Right.
His middle name was named after this great Indian chief.
That's something.
And Sherman had no Indian blood at all, but the people admired Tecumseh so much.
Well, was it Tecumseh who placed the curse, or did someone
else?
Well,
there's three, and there may be more. That's why it seems to be a coincidence, or, well, let me just briefly give the three, when I say three different.
Okay, yeah, give versions. Us a quick overview.
Okay. Okay, the first one was that Tecumseh had captured some of the white people, and he let them go. And he told them, you go back and tell Harrison that if he ever runs for president, he is going to die. And this is because of what has been done to the red man.
Mm-hmm.
And every 20 years, the great white father will die until the people finally, repent or start giving the red man their due. Another version says that Tecumseh's brother, who is known as the prophet, in later years, in 1836, Harrison ran the first time against Martin Van Buren, who had been Andrew Johnson's vice president. And supposedly he was sitting for his portrait, and people said, you know, they knew his name as a prophet. So they said, okay, tell us, prophet, what do you think of this election here in 1836? He said, well, Harrison will lose this election, but he will win the next election. And when he wins the next election, he will die in office.
Jeez.
And they asked, but prophet, no president has ever died in office. And he said, well, it's going to happen to Harrison because of what he did to my people, and it's going to continue. And then there's another version that the prophet was the one who lost the battle at Tippecanoe. If he had followed his brother Tecumseh's mm-hmm. advice, he would have waited for the tribes to get together. But he attacked Harrison too early. Harrison came in, destroyed his village. And then he fasted and prayed and went for forgiveness to his brother Tecumseh. And Tecumseh told him, don't worry about it because the white man is going to get his just desserts. Something is going to happen to Harrison, and that he will die in office. Actually, the final result is the same, that Harrison is going to die in office, and every president, every 20 years,
Well, and it is strange that, you know, even when you look at Reagan, who is the only one who didn't die, he did get shot.
Yeah, and some people say that if Reagan was supposed to have been taken to, I think it was Bethesda Naval Hospital, if he had been taken there, he probably would have bled to death. And instead, they took him to the George Washington Hospital.
It was closer,
which
right?
was closer, and they were able to stop the bleeding. But some people said it was because of his being shot and his loss of blood that the after he left the presidency, that his Alzheimer's.
The question is the curse now over with? Has it been broken?
Well, we've got about 11 months
yeah.
to see.
Yeah, that's true.
Because some people say, well, George Bush was elected. He was reelected in 2004, so the curse is over. Abraham Lincoln was shot in his second term. Franklin Roosevelt died in actually his fourth term. Also, people forget about Harding and Roosevelt because they were not assassinated, but they still...
Yeah, and this just talks about them dying in office.
Yeah.
That's what the curse is.
Right, because it begins, you know, one of the versions of the curse says that there's that the Great White Father will either die being shot or, you know, by some mysterious circumstance.
It is weird, William, that all these things have occurred since 1840.
40. Also, there's only one, you know, people might say, well, maybe a lot of presidents. Actually, only one other president has died in office out of that cycle, and that was Zachary Taylor, who he was the one who he was enjoying July 4th, and supposedly he drank like a quart of milk and a bowl of cherries.
Oh, he got some.
Yeah, he got. They believe
disease,
he
got yeah.
cholera or something.
Yeah.
From bad milk. This is middle of summer in Washington in the 1850 when there was no refrigeration.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Well, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I wanted to give some little details about the different president and also surrounding. The president.
Can you say that you think the curse is over?
No. Like I said, I have to wait until January. I step out on a limb and say I'm pretty sure it's over because there's signs. For example, every president that died in office or was assassinated. Of course, his vice president became president. Unless something happens to President Bush, Dick Cheney will never become, you know, he's not running. He doesn't plan to run.
Never say never, William.
Right. But that's what I mean. The only way Cheney can become president is if something happens to Bush. And there's always conspiracy, you know, like, The Kennedy conspiracy theories. There were also conspiracy theories with Abraham Lincoln. Of course, there's all pages and pages can go into.
Did these presidents, William, did they know about this curse, do you think? All these subsequent presidents?
Yeah, well, I keep doing more and more research, and then I found on the web that supposedly, for example, in 1980, somebody actually asked Jimmy Carter that, President Carter, every president elected in 0 years, something's happened to them. There's this presidential curse. And Carter said, well, I'm going to leave it up to God. I'm going to run, and if I'm elected and if something happens, it'll be in the hands of God, but I'm going to do my best every day president. So well, Dick Carter had heard, the
Carter wasn't in that 20-year cycle, though, right?
He would have been.
You mean in 80?
Yeah, in 80.
In 80. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Okay, we'll be back in a moment with you, William. We're going to open up the phone lines, too, on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, we're talking about Tecumseh's Curse with William Connery this hour. We're going to take your phone calls next hour. We begin Open Lines. Well, before we go to the calls, William, let's do a quick run-through of the presidents then. We just talked about Harrison. We all know about Abraham Lincoln. Garfield, want to pick it up with him?
Okay. Actually, Garfield and McKinley, they had both been officers during the Civil War. Actually, McKinley was famous. He had been like a lieutenant bringing coffee to his men in at the Battle of Antietam. And people said, and any officer who brings coffee to his men has their men's vote right there.
Yeah, you got that right.
But both of them were assassinated. Garfield pretty much right after he'd been elected within the first year. McKinley was one of the ones he'd been first elected in.
Yeah, he went to his second term.
Yeah, he was in his second term. Another thing about breaking the curse is every president who went to a second term picked up a different the vice president. Lincoln, there was a guy named Hannibal Hamlin.
Hannibal Hamlin.
You know, who could forget a name? But he was dropped because he was from Maine. Lincoln felt he needed someone else to be more of a Southern influence, so he picked up Andrew Johnson, who is actually what they called a Unionist or a War Democrat.
Exactly what Kennedy did.
Right. I didn't forget and the second time McKinley ran, he picked up this young firebrand by the name of Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody thought, oh, this guy's too wild, and he has too these conservationists and all these ideas. We'll just bury him as vice president. And actually, Roosevelt became the youngest person ever to become. Of course, Kennedy was the youngest one ever elected. But Teddy was the youngest one ever to become president. And, of course, Franklin Roosevelt, I believe he had, like, a different vice president. I think Henry Wallace was his vice president in 1940. And then, of course, 44, he dropped him and picked up this little-known senator called Harry Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history. Bush, 2000, was elected with Dick Cheney. 2004, again, elected with Dick Cheney.
It would seem the curse is over.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Even there's a what's called a presidential prayer group out there that prays not only for the president, but for all vice presidents, secretary of state, secretary. You know, all the high positions in the government, that they can be protected and that they can do the right thing for the people and for the government.
Do you think also that this country has done the right thing now for Native Americans and that they're starting to, they're beginning to? I mean, they're doing things now that more so than they did in the past. I wonder if that has contributed to the curse being broken.
Yeah, I think because, as I mentioned in the beginning, one of the things that Tecumseh and or his brother, the prophet, spoke about was this: the great white father would die until the people remembered what they had done
right to
the red man. In many states, there's a casinos, and at least some tribes are getting wealthy off of that. And almost every state has a native
yeah, that's true,
tribe.
Almost.
And and I'm familiar with, there's different organizations that they have what they call bridge ceremonies.
Let's take a few calls while we continue chatting with you, William.
Okay.
Wildcard line, Ted, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm here in Chicago.
Hey, Ted, go ahead.
Hey, now, why hasn't, the United States or the states on their own considered what we did to the Native Americans as a genocide? I mean, anytime upwards of 1 million to 2 million people get slaughtered out of greed for territory, they call it a genocide anywhere else. So I really don't understand, why we haven't been more fulfilling of honoring their deaths by owning up to the real reality of the unfair fight that was waged against these ancient peoples. And do you think that that awareness, like authors like Zinn and others, have been coming up with a more honest history of American history? Do you think that plays into why the curse is abated, if there is any such thing as a power of a curse to begin with?
Good question. What do you think, William?
Well, in my view, the president represents the nation. I believe that God has a special protection for the president. You know, there's the old saying that that God loves and protects fools, drunkards, and the United States of America. And the only reason that the president gets in danger is that, I guess you can say it's like the old thing of the canary in the mine. The canary would die if there was not enough oxygen there,
mm-hmm.
and people would know it's time to get out. So if something happens to the president, people have to realize what's wrong with the nation, that the president is... I think we felt that... I think, George, you're about the same age I am, right?
Yeah, I'm 57, and you're...
I just turned 59. So you must remember when Kennedy was shot.
Oh, sure do. I was 13 years old.
Yeah, I was just starting high school, and I was growing up in Baltimore. When I was growing up, being an Irish Catholic Democrat was all one word. So Kennedy was our man. And, I mean, for me, there's two. When Kennedy was shot and when the Twin Towers fell, I can still remember almost everything that happened those days.
Events we will
never forget
and always remember where we were and what we were doing.
Right. So when Kennedy died, people knew, it was like the death of something died in our generation. But from there, civil rights grew. Black people had been put down for generation after generation. They were able to pass the Civil Rights Act. And I think people realize the president died, many people believe about Jesus dying for the sins of the... Except you can carry that too far. I think there was a book back in the 70s called Buster Died for Your Sins. So, I really believe that something happens to the president that represents...
I would have loved to have interviewed Tecumseh.
Yeah.
And just asked him about the curse and everything else. And I wonder what he would have said.
Well, I think he would have told you that, these white people are coming in. They're stealing our land.
Slaughtering our people.
Yeah. And like the gentleman just said in the call, it was a form of genocide. I think there's recordings of the whites sending blankets over to the Indians, with smallpox and diseases. And from the time the white people came, there was like the crashing of these civilizations. But if the white people came to take over this nation, they suffered, they brought in slavery. We fought a horrible civil war because of slavery. We fought wars against the Indians, and we have to set things right. There's karma, and again, the president represents the nation, and if there's karma to pay, sometimes the president has to pay it.
Let's go to some more calls. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, this is Janet from Butner. How's my precious one, George?
I'm fine, Miss Missouri. Good.
Yes. I want to comment on this. I think this is fascinating that you're discussing this, particularly since I'm part Crow. I saw a documentary on this very subject about a year and a half ago, and they said they believed that Nancy Reagan, the reason the curse was broken, was that she invited Dean Dixon in secrecy to visit the White House, and also she consulted other psychics to break the power of this curse, and they think that the reason the curse was broken was because her actions on his behalf. And I was wondering if anybody else had seen this or heard of this or what you thought of that.
Well?
Well, if I remember correctly, I think on the it was the History Channel, did, I think, a whole program on the presidential curse and going through the different presidents and then leading up to Reagan. And that's one of the possibilities, is because of the these people that Nancy Reagan knew, that the president was saved.
She was into that.
And then the curse was broken. But it's still, I think part of the numerology was that every zero-year election would be either during a time of war, close to a war, or it would be an extremely contentious or close election. I think all of us remember 2000, you know, hanging chads in Florida. And it's you know, a month, Bush saying he was president, and Al Gore saying he was president, and until it was given into the Supreme Court, who said, okay, Florida goes to Bush, and then for
that was it.
And for years, especially many Democrats saying Bush is the selected president, not the elected president, which was the rap that, you know, John Tyler, the first vice, he was called his accidency, because he just happened to become president when William Henry Harrison died.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Oh, yes. Hello, George. This is I agree with what the Tecumseh curse, that it does exist, but what I'm arguing is that I believe that, you know, like JFK was given a death sentence under the Tecumseh curse, but a worse sentence would be like a life sentence, like, you know, Nixon being the worst president and having to fulfill the rest of his life knowing that he was the worst. You understand?
Yes, no doubt about that.
Like Bush, he had these terrible events of 9/11 to Katrina to Iraq. I mean, it's just been one disaster after another, and he has to live with that life sentence for the rest of his life.
Well, I guess you could say, in one form or fashion, he's been cursed.
Yeah.
No, that's not a bad point. Hey, Jeff, thanks for that call. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Keely calling from Virginia Beach.
Hey, we're Edgar Casey's.
Yeah. I find this especially fascinating since I am part Shawnee Indian.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Been passed down in our family that we are related to Chief Tecumseh, and I do pronounce it Tecumseh. That's
Tecumseh,
just how our family pronounces it.
Tecumseh.
And I don't know a ton of information because it is passed down through the family, but I do know a few things. I have heard of the curse. I don't know if our family lines, descendants, made the curse. Maybe they knew about it, you know, like a psychic prediction of some sort back in those days. I'm not sure. I'd hate to put a judgment on it. But I do know that there are They were a very spiritual tribe.
Right.
And they were into, I don't know, some people might call it magic, but I would just call it spiritualism of some sort.
Shamanism.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know that him and his brother were twin brothers. And he was supposedly, from what I hear, because this is all information passed down from my family, the medicine man as well, not Tecumseh, but his brother.
Yeah, his brother, the prophet.
The medicine man. And, of course, Tecumseh was the great warrior. And I just found this so fascinating. I woke up to your show.
That's so cool that you're related to him.
Yeah, it was really a shocker to me. I mean, I didn't find out until I was in my 20s because I really didn't know that side of the family too well. And I met them when I was in my 20s, and I've talked to my father about it and my cousin who's, you know, probably researched most of the information. And his mother, which would have been my grandmother, was half Shawnee Indian.
Does anybody in the family believe in the curse?
Well, me and my cousin talked about it. We're really the only ones that really talk about it that much. And, you know, I'll probably call her and talk to her more about it after the show. And she was the one that told me about the curse. And, you know, I was really fascinated when I first heard about it. My take on it is I don't want to say that it was created by, you know, our relatives.
Right. You don't want to admit that, huh? But.
Well,
privately,
I mean, who knows, you know, how, it, you know, if it's even really a curse, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but...
it's just weird, whatever it is.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
I do find that, and it is fascinating, and there is some kind of metaphysical thing going on of some sort, maybe the power of thought.
That very well could be, too. Mm-hmm. William, we've only got about a minute or so to go, and just ask you one quick question. What's your connection to Edgar Allan Poe, besides being born on the same day?
Oh, God. I don't know if any, but you're familiar with the what's called the stranger who comes to Poe's grave every year?
Yes.
Okay.
And puts flowers there.
Puts flowers and half a bottle of cognac.
Yep, every year.
Okay. The first instance of that recorded is 1949, which was the 100th anniversary of Poe's death.
That's when you were born, so it couldn't be you.
No, but I was born the very day it happened, January 19th, 1949.
Yep.
And I was born in Baltimore, and Poe's... Actually, I give like a tour, historical tour of Baltimore, and I usually end up at Poe's grave. And I want to tell you, George, if people want to contact me, I don't, you know, almost when I listen to your show, everybody's, you know, having a book or a website.
You don't have that, but how do they get a hold of you?
Okay, they can send me email, William.Connery.
William.Connery with a C, everyone.
Right. It's the same as the movie star, Sir Sean.
He could
really be my cousin, for all I know. William.Connery. At Verizon with a Z .net.
Oh, that's simple enough. And I'll give it out again for you too, William. So that's William.Connery, Connery, at Verizon.net. He welcomes your emails. So that's refreshing. Fire away and ask him questions. And I believe in the curse, and I hope it's over. I really do. And it probably is because of Ronald Reagan. I'll be back in a moment. We're going to open up a curse hotline in addition to open lines next on Coast to Coast AM.